Kazuo san, nyongo de yonde kudasai. Scripture reading is in the back of the program. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned."
ヨハネの福音書16章の15節と16節を日本語でお読みします。それからイエスは彼らにこう言われた。全世界に出て行き、すべての作られたものに福音を述べ伝えなさい。信じてバプテスマを受ける者は救われます。しかし信じない者は罪に定められます。
アーメン。She did that in perfect Japanese, like I would know. Amen. I want to just say what a privilege it is to be here. My name is Tom. I think many of you have recognized me from my wife and I, Julie. She's back there sitting next to a good friend of ours, Penny. And so she has come today. We invited her. She hasn't heard me preach probably for 15, long time, 18 years maybe. I don't know. It's been a while. Anyway, my wife and I, Julie, have been coming here for probably a couple months now and really feel part of this group with you guys. And we met Aki through Mandy, who works with Anna, our daughter. Okay, is that a little confusing? Anna, who has been coming here because she and Mandy work together, and that's how Anna became part of your group. And now Anna's up every once in a while playing her bass guitar, helping out on the music, and you guys did a fantastic job today. You know, amen, that's right. Praise the Lord, all glory goes to God. And one of the things that I want to say is that we are here. In fact, we are in Tucson by divine appointment. All right? Now, some people don't get that. They think, oh, you know, well, whatever. But do you remember one day when Paul was having a dream, and in the dream, a guy from Macedonia said, "I want you to come over here"? You know, if Paul had went to a lot of Christians of today, they would have talked him out of that. They would say, "You had too much to eat last night. It was just a dream. What are you talking about? You're needed over there. You're just one guy. What's the big deal?" And get all the negative stuff. But Paul never went down that road. When he got that dream and he heard that voice, his next mission was to go to Macedonia, which brought the gospel to Europe, which brought the gospel eventually to America, which, you know where we went from there. It's an amazing, amazing story. God has a providential way of reaching us and telling us what to do. Now, I'm saying that because I'm going to share my story, and I'm going to get into the Word, but I want to share this with you first. This is how it goes for me. When I wake up in the morning, on Sunday morning, I'm going to preach. I've already got my message. I've already got the scripture. As you can see, it's just a little short one. I've got my notes. But what I do is I sit in a chair, and I got my cup of coffee, because that's the agreement I made with God. I've got to do it that way. I used to pray differently. I used to be all religious in my prayer, and finally one day at 5:30 in the morning, after just barely being awake and not liking my prayer time, not even enjoying a minute of prayer, I said, "You know, Lord, if it's okay with you, can I just get a cup of coffee and sit down and just chat with you a while?" And that day was so wonderful, and that's probably been over 20 years ago, and I have never, from that day until today, that's the way I pray. I got a cup of coffee. Now, you may not go for that. Do you ever get on your knees? I do once in a while. But I like to sit and just chat with God. So this morning then, what I do is I just let the Lord speak to me. And in my head, I probably have 10 sermons going on in the morning when I'm just talking to God. I've got this sermon. I've got thoughts all over the place. And I'm just saying, "Okay, Lord, let those thoughts come." Because I know when they come that He's not going to take all those thoughts, but He's going to divide those thoughts up until I come to you with what I believe is going to be the Word of God for today. And it will deal with this scripture, but it's the Word of the Lord. It flows into my mind. You would not believe how it comes. It's like an instant of time. I get a thought and I'm in my head. I said, "That would be a great sermon." I'm amening myself in my own head, saying, "That would be good preaching." And another thought comes, and it's the Lord that does this. I don't do it. I'm not making all this up. And so I'm the first thing I thought of today, the very first thing, is I need to share with you guys how I ended up back in Tucson, my wife and I, how we came back to this city, and my story. So if that's okay, it's not in my notes. So if anybody's looking at my notes back there, I don't know who's got them. They were translated into Japanese. Did a great job, I know. I just know you did. I can't read Japanese, but I'm going to say perfect, and they're probably saying amen to how it looks. Well, who is this? Where is this guy going? Well, let me share something with you guys. About a year ago, my wife and I were introduced to a prophet. His name is Gary Morris. And as always, you kind of hear that. You know, first of all, you guys think of a prophet. What does a prophet look like in most people's heads? Kind of a weirdo, right? A guy that's a little bit strange. Probably wearing something like a robe of some kind. He's got a leather belt here. He's eating grasshoppers and chunks of honey. And that's your picture of a prophet. But when we were introduced to Gary Morris, I don't think of it in those terms, but some people do. So we sent away for what he gives is a prophecy concerning your life. So my wife's prophecy came back first. And what's about a year ago, right, Julie? Maybe you... Oh, yes. We don't know who he is. We're not acquainted with him. Introduced online to him. So we sent away, he gets a prophecy, comes back in the form of like a recording. You get it on your email, you click it, and it plays it. And for Julie, it was amazing. He doesn't know her. And it was so amazing. He spoke into her life. But one of the things that he was saying to her was that you're going to be going into a new season. There's a new day coming. There's a short span of time between the old season and the new season. Now, at that time, we were not yet making preparations to come back to the United States. We had been in England for 4 years, ministering to the American military, just in case you didn't know where we were at the time. And Julie receives that word. It was so encouraging. When I read that, I said, I got to send away for my prophecy. So I sent away for my prophecy. It comes in about 10 days. 10 days later, I played my prophecy. And what does he say to me? He doesn't know who I am, doesn't know who Julie is, doesn't have Julie's recording going on so he can kind of tap into it, say, oh, I'll get this guy. Same last name, you know, they probably know each other, so I'll make it fit. You know, they'll send me a good offering. It wasn't like that at all. So I get my prophecy, and it lined up with Julie's prophecy. He said, you're going to go into a new season. And the next season was going to be a very fruitful season. Because you've been waiting a long time for this. And actually, to be honest with y'all, I've waited my whole life for this. My whole Christian life has waited for this moment where I'm at right now. Just to tell you. So is that possible? Well, the Israelites waited 40 years until they had the fulfillment of their prophecy one time. And I've been serving God for 40 years. Moses had 40 years before he was called into the next phase of his ministry, right? He was a shepherd, you know, great. You know, just graduated the University of Arizona with a PhD. You are now going to be a shepherd. Oh, great. You know, that's quite a job. No, I don't want to be a shepherd. Well, the Lord said, Moses, I'm going to talk to you, but I'm going to use something you won't even understand what I'm going to use. You will be so blown away that it's going to take every theology idea that you have about God and it's going to pull it apart. And God caused a bush to be set on fire. You all know the story. I'm telling you, the Tucson police could be out there putting that fire out. It wasn't going to go out. Amen. You get my point. And God spoke to Moses. So after 40 years of being a shepherd in the wilderness with his PhD from the University of Arizona, I'm just making all that up and just telling you what a dramatic change came in his life. And Moses then became the leader of the Israelites, guided them out of the land of being as slaves in Egypt into the desert. And then another 40 years go by, 80 years in Moses' life, and then the Lord at the end doesn't even allow him to get into the promised land. But he was okay with that. So when the Lord spoke and said, you, Tom, are going into a new season, it meant a lot more to me than just words from a man's prophecy. It was something deep down inside of me that said, I'm heading for something that I've been waiting for all of my life. I got saved in 1974. I was water baptized a few months after that and went on, got into the ministry, got married, had two kids, and Anna, by the way, is a miracle baby, so after church today, go to her and just tell her, your dad told on you in church. She knows that. But
But the Lord began to speak to me and spoke to my wife Julie. We were going into a new season. Something new was going to happen. Something different. Something bigger. And I felt like I've been waiting for this all of my life. So what is it going to be? Where am I going to go? What is God going to say? So here's how it works. Now I'm just getting to my point here. That Julie was working as a GS worker for the United States Air Force. That means that she was a government employee. She worked in flight medicine. She took care of these pilots who fly those F-15 jets. These are the elite of that Air Force base. And these are the guys that were making flights into Afghanistan and other parts of that part of the world and doing their assignments that were sometimes secret assignments. In fact, one time, get this, because I knew this, because my wife had received an award, and when she got the award for being part of her department, she received, you know, an honorarium of being just a great person and a great worker, and it was a wonderful time. Well, the colonel of the entire base, he made this statement. And I'm in the crowd, right? And there's all these military guys, and I'm over here, I'm listening, I'm watching, and they clap differently than you would, you and I would. They don't clap, they just go, and make all these sounds, you know, like what's happening over there, different units, you know, like, it's real loud. But anyway, what's that? Almost like that. Yeah, but these are Air Force guys. So the colonel of the entire base, he says, I also want to congratulate our fighter pilots for a successful mission over Afghanistan this past weekend. So I'm listening, oh man, nobody knew about it. But it was public information. So one of my guys in my group, because I have a ministry, you know, to these American militaries, one of my guys loads the bombs up on these F-15s, right? He's part of that crew. And so I said to him, I said, hey, great job on that mission the guys did last weekend going to Afghanistan. That's top secret. I said, I don't know. I got it off of Facebook. Oh, I'm just teasing him. So he says, how'd you know that? So I said, I had my guys out there. And he was kind of getting choked up. I said, ah, come on. Your colonel said it. He did? I said, yeah. So it wasn't a secret anymore. But I just thought that was so funny. But let me just say this. So Julie, as a GS worker, and I'm trying to get to my point as fast as I can. This will take a long time here. Not really, but Julie was looking for a GS job across the United States when we felt the Lord was calling us back here. A GS job would pay for your everything you have. Your plane ride back to the U.S., ship all your furniture. If you have an American car, which I would have bought one over there, which is tax-free money, and then have them ship it back to wherever she was going to go. So she's applying for jobs. And I'm thinking a new season, wherever I go, is brand new for me. Praise the Lord, I'm excited. And so she's looking in Washington, D.C., applied to 4 or 5 different places. New Mexico, Indian Reservation in Arizona, all over the place. Even this place, I said, I don't really want to go there, but if they ship our furniture, and they ship our car, and they'll pay our way back, and we have everything, we can live there for a year. As Julie said, we can do it for a year. I said, yeah, a year, okay, just stick it out. Well, one day, just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, Julie's on the couch, and she says, I think I found a job I would like to do. What do you think my first question was? Is it a GS job? And she says, no, not really. I said, no, it's got to be GS, Julie. They're going to ship our car and our furniture, everything we have. And she says, but I could see in her face. I know my wife. I could see she lit up with this job. She was like, I said, well, apply for it, you know. I'm thinking, God, you're powerful. You can stop that job in a heartbeat and give us a job of our dream, right? Get us back in the States, the car, furniture, all that stuff. Well, guess what? That job, one like it, was exactly like it, was the job from TMC Hospital that when she went in for the Skype interview, you know, and she's talking to first person, then they arrange another Skype interview, another interview, another Skype interview. I said, how long is this going to go on? 4 interviews, right, Julie? And then last interview, she had to meet with doctors, and it's a whole new program, you guys, at TMC. It's wonderful, and she may explain that to you guys one day, but here's what happened. We're sitting at that on the same couch, whatever it was, just a week or two later, and she gets a text or an email. Congratulations, you got the job. And I said, we're going back to Tucson. What a miracle. You see, we had lived in Tucson from 1994 until 2012. So we know this area. And we know all, I know the streets, I know everything about Tucson, you know, that you can learn in that number of years that we did. And I thought, yeah, I like Tucson. I'm for that. I'm saying amen to God. But you see, what happened was, it was a divine appointment. And when the Lord said, you're going to go into a brand new season, you're going to go into something that you haven't been in before and done before, and I knew in my heart of hearts that I've waited all my life as a Christian since 1974 until 2016 for that moment. So I knew by prophecy that we were going to be going somewhere that God had called us to go. So you understand that we're not here by accident. I'm not standing in front of you by happenstance. This is a divine appointment. This is what God has said for me to do. He said for my wife to do. And she just sent to Gary Morse Ministries another request for prophecy. You know, and I said, well, I don't know about this. But she did. And it came back, and with that one basically said, you've entered into, he doesn't know the old prophecy, this guy. But he said, you are now in that new season. You're in the season. The old, other one said, you're entering into it. And he said, now you're in that new season. And answered prayer was going to be part of our new season. So I'm standing before you in the name of Jesus, the Lord of all, the King of kings, Lord of lords, all the attributes that we can assign to Jesus, that he is the all in all. He's my all in all. That I have come to the place in my Christian life that anything religious is laid aside. I'm done with religion. I've got Jesus. If it doesn't glorify Jesus, forget it. And while I was in that mode, in that position in my own life, I dismantled all my theology. I don't know if you've ever done that. I just took it all apart. Now, you know, guys are like that, right? I don't know any other guys here, but I like to take things apart. And I can tell you right now, it is true that guys do not like to read directions to put anything together. I just put together a table while we were in England. I didn't use the directions. And by the end of putting this table together, I said, I wonder what those parts are for. Then I decided maybe I should look at the instructions. And those little rubber parts were supposed to go on before the glass met the metal lathe that I was tightening up so the glass doesn't, I don't know, get broken or whatever. And I thought, oh, great. So I had to take the whole table apart, you know. Piece by piece, to get my little rubber things in there. And, you know, so I thought, oh, my wife would have been laughing at me. She would say, read the instructions. I don't need instructions. You know, one of the instructions were. But there were the instructions. Right. You guys got the point. But the thing is this. The Lord said, dismantle everything. Take it apart. Well, when you put it back together again, it has to glorify me. Boy, I'm off my message, aren't I? Okay, just hang with me, you guys. I might get there. I didn't know I'd go down this road. This is good. It says the Lord. Okay, listen. So the Lord said, take it all apart. I took it all apart. Everything I believed in. Every part of my belief system. But this time, and I know that Mikey is back there in Cecilia, and I know that you guys were in my last sermon I preached about this. But what happened to me in my lifetime was I always had my leadership, the guys in the Church of God, the guys, the big guys, you know, always over my shoulder making sure I was doing the right thing. That's how it works in a denomination. You always want to make sure the leaders are all happy, you know. Whether they're involved in your vision or not, you got to make sure they're happy. So they were always looking over my shoulder. So basically, in my spirit, I just said, okay, I'm not going to hear those voices anymore. I only want to hear God's voice and Jesus' voice. That's all I want to listen to. And so I began to reassemble what I believed in. And when I got done with it, after about 4 or 5 months of just going through it and going in the Bible, just me and the Bible, that's all it was, me, the Bible, and Jesus. And I was reading the Bible, and I was going in there, and I said, yeah, amen. I nailed down that belief. And by the end of that, I could rise up and say, I am a Jesus person, only Jesus. Amen. And that's the reason that I can tell you that God has brought my wife and I back here for the purpose of ministry. All right, ministry. Now, does anybody know how big Tucson is? How much the population of Tucson? Shout it out if you know. An idea.
500,000 plus.
Yes, he got it. You get the award. Today's award. Yes, it's not much. Just a little piece of paper said, congratulations. That's all right. 550,000 people in the city limits of Tucson. How about when it spreads out into the desert and it starts going out, you know, as it does, beyond the city limits? How many do you think? Now, I know these facts because I just walked on the internet. Anybody know?
600?
Keep going.
1 million.
1 million. Just about. That's what's estimated. Those are 2012 whatever they call it, census. Now, think about Tucson. It's a big city. You guys are like a little speck on that, instead of a little church area up the street from Campbell and not too far from the Speedway, but it doesn't really even show up on the map. I looked for you guys. Boston Market did. You know, I blew it up. Boston Market, got it. Blew it up bigger. Where's their church? You know, not even in there. I said, well, it's, you know, this whole church complex. But here's what I said. I said, if God has called me to Tucson, and if I'm out here for a reason, and there's a purpose behind it, both of my wife and I are here by prophecy, and I'm glad to say that out loud, I don't care what you think of me, it doesn't bother me one bit, that if we're here by prophecy, then there's something we're supposed to do. I've got the whole city of Tucson in my picture. I've got the whole outlying areas in my view, I'm telling you. So I said, how am I going to reach this city? What am I going to do to reach this city? I started praying about it, and the Lord began to speak to me. He began to tell me how you can do it. Now, here we go. And I said this before, but everybody kids about this. Or, you know, it's not like you would eat an elephant, but they say, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. You ever hear that saying? Yes? Well, I would never eat an elephant. I have no desire to eat an elephant. But when they say one bite at a time, what they're talking about is the larger into bite-sized pieces that you can actually get around. So what about that? What does that really mean? And I'm going to go on my sermon here in a moment. The Holy Spirit just told me. Amen. So here's what he said. He said, the city of Tucson, and I looked it up online, is broken down into wards, W-A-R-D-S. Those wards are used for politicians and the city of Tucson. It's demographics. It gives you the income. It gives you the age of people. It does all kinds of things like that. Well, I looked down there, and I identified, amongst other wards, where you guys sit. Well, let's say we guys, where we sit. There's a number for it. But it begins out here on Speedway. It goes down to 6. And I'm pointing like I know where I'm pointing. Just please, if you know where 6 is. I think it's Speedway. I forgot. But anyway, and it just kind of circles around. And that's the ward where you guys sit. So what did I say? I said, okay, Lord, that's the assignment. That's my assignment. That's where I'm going. I'm going to go to that place, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to introduce myself to every business along this area. And guess what I'm going to say to those people? Hi, my name is Tom Lee. I'm not afraid to go in and do these kind of things. I know some people are like, ooh, you know. I talk to people in elevators. That's crazy. You don't talk to people in elevators. That's just impossible. You follow me? And I'm not getting much reaction out of you guys, but I can teach you where there's going to be an amen in my sermon later on. All right. But listen, in an elevator, nobody talks. That's my wife. I talk. She said they didn't understand English. Didn't you know that? I said, I don't know. They're from another country. If you're talking to the kid and they're like 15 years old, like, you know, who are you? This old guy talking to my son. So, but anyway, I'm going to introduce myself to every business. And I, you know, Anna said, maybe you should do it in your area where you live. But no, that's not what the Lord wants. And I said, I want to do it here. And then I want to drive around. I want to see the houses in your area. I want to take a look around. You can tell what goes on in homes by just driving around a neighborhood. If there's a bicycle in the property, guess what? A kid lives there. That's a kid that needs to know Jesus, right? You don't know what goes on. And so that's my assignment. And I'm glad to do it. I can't wait to do it. I'm going to do it this week, as a matter of fact. And I'm going to give a report to Aki when I come back to tell him all the things that I was able to find out in this ward. That's my mission field. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to talk about this church. I'm going to talk about what's going on in this area. I'm going to mention Jesus to them. I'm going to tell them all about the Lord, what he's done in my life. It's an opportunity for me to witness Jesus, not to be ashamed of the gospel. That's what Paul said, pray that. He said, I pray that I would have boldness to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to those places and I'm going to say, guess what? I go to this church down the road here. You don't even know about that church. You couldn't find it. If you go on to Google Maps, you won't find it. But it's right down the road. And they're probably, well, I kind of know about it. It's at the steeple or whatever. And that's where I go. Guess what? It's a Japanese-American church. Okay. I don't care. That's fine. You don't have to care or not. Just letting you know where I go to church. I'm glad to go to church right there. A bunch of happy people, very nice people, have great music. And I said, guess what my next sentence? I'm excited, you guys. I'm happy to do it. I am praying that God will bless your business. Anybody have their own business? Wouldn't you let somebody come by, a nobody, just to say, you know what? I'm going to pray that God blesses your business. No, they may do one of two things. You know, I don't believe you. Or they might say, thank you. That's how much praying for me, because my business is suffering right now. Amen. So I got a hold of that. Then I said, Lord, the whole city. How do we do this to the whole city? How do we reach the whole city? There's a lot of wards in this town. This is a way to do it. This is not the only way. This is not, you know, there's many ways to do it, but this is a good idea. This is the Lord, I believe. And I'm praying for 100 people to come with me. Stop being ashamed of the gospel. Just come with me. I'll teach you how to do it. We'll go there on a Saturday afternoon. We'll walk into those businesses in that particular ward. We will introduce ourselves. We will drive around that ward a little bit. I'll say, this is your ward. You've got assignment for you. Now, God has told you to reach this ward for Jesus. Well, I can't do the whole thing by myself, but then you better pray for helpers. Amen. Now, I told you I was going to get into my message.
Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter number 16. Is this little thing recording over here? Hello? My name is Tom Lipa. You can ask my family. I'm a little bit weird. I've got a Bible that if you read it up and down, it's in English. You turn it upside down, it's Hebrew. Turn it sideways, it's Greek. You didn't believe that story, do you? Hard to get you guys to. Are you all right out there? You know, I told Aki, he said, you know, my church might be kind of quiet for you. I said, that's fine. I entertain myself. I said, I don't worry about that. You know, I can get, you know, I can do a dance and get happy. And hey, by the way, honestly, I did feel like dancing while you were playing today. Isn't that weird? Watch out now. You know, we don't dance in our church. Yeah, we don't allow that kind of stuff. I'm going to share with you guys, and this is going to, and I'm looking at the clock. I have 5 minutes to preach this message.
Don't worry about it.
Wow. Can you give me 10?
This is Hawaiian time in reverse.
Okay. All right. Hey, this is good. You guys are going to hear now where I'm coming from when I talk to you about stuff. Where I'm coming from. Verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, you know now this is the risen Lord. We're not talking about Jesus like in his human way. We're talking about the risen Lord. The revelation of Jesus being risen from the dead. Previous verses to this one, Jesus was already scolding them. You can see that in verse number 14. Because when they came back with the message that Jesus was alive, we've seen him, he's risen from the dead, they still did not believe him. So don't you all think, anybody that doesn't believe you, that it's really weird. No, we're talking about the day of the resurrection, the time when he was risen from the dead, and then the days afterwards. But I mean that little few days that Jesus appeared to his disciples. In verse number 15, Jesus gives the command. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized. I have a lot to say about that, but it's not part of my message. But think about the power of this message. And is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, my first thought today, in the world that we live in, the place that seems to all of us as a mess, we have a message of good news. And here's how we treat good news for a lot of people. Oh, good news! You get to go to heaven when you die. All right, that sounds good. What about my life right now? There's not much we can do about that right now. Just attend church, read your Bible, and struggle through it. That's kind of the message that I received after I became a Christian. Just endure it, because that's the way it is. It's a rough world. But just go through it, and one of these days you get to go to heaven. And I was in the whole thing, yeah, let's get this over with now because I'm ready to go right now. And this is an awful world. And that was pretty much how I was taught about this earth. And it wasn't really that pleasant of a place to live, but heaven, oh, now that's the place you want to go. So pack up your bags, get ready to go, sing I'll Fly Away, and get over there with Jesus and get to heaven, and that's it. No, there's a lot more to this, and I want to tell you today, the word good news is what I'm going to talk about. Good news. I've come to bring good news, and I'm going to go into depth about this, but the message that I receive, in fact, just the other day, I'm talking to a guy who's another Christian man, and he's giving me all the bad news. He says, we're done as a nation. I said, really? And he said, yeah, this is it. He's going downhill, and he's a Christian. I said, okay. I said, wow. I said, that's not good news. He says, well, we get to go to heaven. America's going to, you know, those that are believers are going to go to heaven. I said, but it's still not really good news. And I felt like it could be an argument, so I didn't want to pursue it. But he never gave me good news. He told me America is doomed. That's it. He put it, and he said, that's it. No chance. And you know, I said, that doesn't add up to what I hear people telling me all the time. I hear people saying a great revival is coming to this country. You can't be doomed and have a great revival at the same time. I know they have their ways about it, but I'm going to tell you about good news today. And I'm going to tell you how you can bring good news to somebody that doesn't have good news. And that's not just get to heaven either. When I talk about good news, you almost want to whip out the four spiritual laws and say, you know, and have them do the prayer, that quick prayer, you know, bow your head, say this in Jesus' name, and you're on your way to heaven. That's good news. And we send them on their way and they go back to their old lifestyle, no change, no difference. But I want to tell you how we can bring somebody really good news. All right, so bear with me. The word good news, out of the Strong's Concordance, is the same Greek word where we get the word evangelist. And it's, you have to kind of follow the evolution of words as they came from the Greek into English or Latin and then into the English. But it, in Greek, it's euangelion. It's spelled E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-O-N. That U, at one time, you know how the Old English had the V? That's the evolution of the evangelist. That means, the word evangelist means simply a bearer of good news. That's all it means. And right next to that in the Strong's Concordance, if you're a Bible student, you'll know what I'm talking about. Right next to that word of good news in that same area is the word gospel. Good news, gospel, euangelion. It all ties together. It's good news. I've come today to bring you good news. And I'm going to share with you the scripture, and I'm going to do it. I promise you we will get through this. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. That's in the Old Testament. How are you doing there? Isaiah 61. And I'm going to read a few verses out of Isaiah 61. You'll recognize these. Oh yeah, you will. You will recognize them from what Jesus would quote in the New Testament. I want you to listen what it says here in Isaiah 61, verses 1. Now I'll read about two or three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach, now look what it says in the King James, good tidings unto the meek. Now, we don't use the word tidings anymore. Remember that in the birth of Jesus, the angels come, good tidings of great joy. The word good tidings means I've come to bring you good news. We don't use that word anymore. You know, we don't say it's time for the evening tidings on Channel 9. We say news, don't we? Oh, let's get with it, you know? So, he's not talking about tidings. He's talking about news, that we understand that. I've come to bring good news. Now, your Bible may have the word good news in it. Unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn. And I could keep going. But listen, it's good news. I've got good news for people. I've got good news to the meek. Those that are meek. I've got good news for you. You don't have to be have a pity party about yourself anymore. You don't have to feel down anymore. You don't have to wait to heaven to receive what I'm talking about. All you have to do is understand that Jesus came and He brought us good news. I have good news to the brokenhearted. You don't have to have a broken heart your whole life and then die and go to heaven before it gets healed. Amen. That's a good amen, by the way. You don't have to wait until that moment to receive life in Jesus. You've got it right now. I just heard Aki and others say just the other day as he was preaching, talking about the kingdom of God is right here in our presence. It's invisible to our eyes, but it's here right now. Anytime there's a kingdom, you've got to have a king. This king happens to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He's omnipotent. Another big amen for myself there. Amen. So that's what we have. Good news. I've got news. Good news to those that are bound up in sin. You can be set free. You don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven. I've got good news to those that are in prison. Hey, you might be locked up behind bars, but I've got good news. When Jesus comes into your life, He sets you free. It's not bound now by the walls around you. It's with Jesus. Your heart's been set free, and you may be soon enough free from that prison. I've got good news to those that are blind. Amen. Jesus healed a man's eyes one day. And believe me, if you would have been around Jesus that day, and some of us in our religious way, we would have really scolded Jesus for what He was about to do. You know what He did? You remember the story? He spits on the ground. That all by itself is not a very nice thing to do. Guy comes, I want to be healed of my eyes. Okay. Is Jesus really spitting on the ground? What's all that about? Do we ever think about the weird things that He did? The woman caught in adultery, He just writes on there? Like, really? That's all you're going to do? And then go and sin no more? Where's your accusers? Come on, Jesus, preach at this woman, you know? Get her out of that adultery, you know? She can't be in that sin for her whole life. I can invite her to church. No way. And pollute my church with that woman. And no, but Jesus just, you know. So He spits on the ground. He makes mud. And the King James says out of the spittle. It's a very nice way of saying spit, right? If I was there, I said, I'm not part of that team anymore, you know? I'll join up with Jesus when He does something that I can really get. That is just out there. No way. But that's what He did. Amen. He healed the man's eyes. And I just think, wow. So let me do something a little bit different. I'm going to take some of the Beatitudes. And I'm going to share with you the good news that are in the Beatitudes. This is in Matthew chapter 5, by the way. To those who are poor. Now you've got to understand what's being said here. I'm not talking about your bank account flourishing all of a sudden, but to those that are poor, Jesus brings good news to the poor. They would receive the kingdom of God. Hey, you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be somewhere in this life to really get this idea. Jesus says, I've got good news for you, those that are poor. As a matter of fact, I believe that the Lord can lift them out of that poverty situation. I'm not saying they're going to drive a Cadillac or a nice new $60,000 whatever car, but I am saying that the Lord can lift them in this world out of their situation. I think that's pretty good news. If it were me and I was in that situation, that's good news. Amen. It's good news for somebody to tell me that I don't have to be in debt the rest of my life. Isn't that good news? Yes. How am I going to get out of debt? Jesus is going to show you the way. He's not going to float down $1 million probably. I think that's a pretty good idea myself. I just let it come out of the sky. I used to look for money in my shoe in the morning. Julie will tell you that. I'm a little strange guy. I used to pray and believe. Well, there was fish. A fish was caught one day with money in his mouth. I figured, well, I don't go fishing. I'm not a fisherman. I don't like anything about fishing. Sorry, guys, if you're from Japan, fishing is a big deal there. But for me, I never liked it. I get bit up by mosquitoes. I didn't catch anything. My buddy caught all the trout that day. And I was in the mud and this grass, and there was flies all around me. I said, really? This is supposed to be fun? He said, I'm having a great time. You enjoy it? I said, no, I'm not having a great time. Oh, we got to go out on the boat tomorrow. We go out on a boat, and we decided we want to go on a rowboat. Right? Not knowing that the dam was going to be let loose while we were still out there in the water. It was nice and calm. We come now like waves, you know, and we're rowing and trying to get to shore. We didn't make it back to where we were. We had to walk about 2 miles. We've got the boat sitting over there. The guy says, where's the boat? We said, what's up the river? And he said, or the lake? He said, no, go get the boat. I said, how are we going to get the boat? He said, you guys will be in charge for the boat because it's up there. I said, man, I'm not having any fun fishing. Let me just tell you right now, this is not fun. I mean, you know, mark me out of fishing for the rest of my life. And the next day, we go fishing again. He just loved fishing. I said, well, wow, this guy's into fishing. All right. Yeah, that was fun. What'd you catch? He catches them, throws them back in. I said, I don't get that one. You know, was that real? Don't you want to eat that one? No, I got too many trout now. I'm catching too many trout. I said, you know, I caught one. A little guy like that, a poor little thing. And you know something else? What they tell you? They say, after the hook comes out, he doesn't feel it. How do you know? Really? Yeah. He's all right. Doesn't feel it. Throw him back in, you know. My mouth. He goes home to his mom and dad. My mouth is killing me. What happened? I got caught. The hook.
Oh, one of those guys. Yeah, they tell you it doesn't hurt. It's killing me. I'm just making that up, but anyway, I think it hurts the fish. Anyway, listen. We have got good news for the poor. How'd I get into fishing? I don't know. I'm back. Okay. Good news. God can lift you out of your poverty. I know how it was with the money in the shoe. That's what the whole money thing, because that fish had coin in his mouth. So my idea was, God's going to send money in my shoe. And Julie, she says, I'm married to a weirdo. Okay. Money in the shoe. I look at my shoe the next day, no money there. And the third day, I'm saying, that's not going to happen. So I got to have another prayer. But Jesus is telling the poor people, I've got good news. You don't have to be poor. If you've got debt, you can be out of debt. I've got good news for you. And if you hear that message from somebody that's not saved, you get excited. But when you get in around Christians and they tell you that, you're going, oh, well, better be careful now. But I'm here to tell you, if somebody wants to have good news in this part of town, bring them good news. Tell them they don't have to have a marriage that's suffering. Tell them they don't have to have kids that are running loose. Tell them that God can cure and mend all those things, because the Word of God says He can do. To the poor, Jesus brings good news. You can receive the kingdom of God. That's pretty good news. To those that are meek, Jesus brings good news that you will inherit the earth. And these are not future things. These are all things right now. Right now, inherit the earth. To those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus brings good news. I'll fill you up. If you cry out to God, I'm hungry for you, Lord. Hold on. It's coming. You're going to be filled. Amen. It's coming your way. How's it going to come? I don't know. But it's coming your way. To those that are merciful, Jesus has good news. You will receive mercy. What goes around comes around. That's the saying. You show love, what's coming back to you? Love. Oh, if you show anger and hatred and meanness and just a foul spirit, guess what you got coming back? Be careful. I'm telling you. What you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow for things that are good, and you sow into those things, and you're merciful, and you show mercy, you will receive mercy. It's coming back to you. Full steam ahead. To those that are pure in heart, Jesus brings good news. You're going to see God. Remember Nathanael? Nathanael was one of the first guys. Pastor Aki just read that a few weeks ago. But Nathanael, Jesus says to Nathanael, after he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus says, oh, just wait and see, Nathanael. You're going to find out. Now I put my own words in there because that's how I read it. I get excited about that. Because Nathanael, he says to him, you're going to see angels ascending and descending from heaven. You're going to see this with your eyes, Nathanael. Yeah. I'm not talking religion now to you, Nathanael. I'm talking reality. This is Jesus talking. You're going to see angels. I've never seen an angel, and I'm not so sure I want to see one. In fact, one night I was praying. I was in one of those modes of my praying where I'm really into prayer. I'm just praying, and I'm loud, and I pray, and now it turns from daytime to nighttime. And then all of a sudden, I felt like there was going to be an angel in my room where I was praying. It's dark. And I didn't even want to turn around. I said, Lord, I would rather not see an angel right now because it would scare me. I know people think, I want to see angels. You know, talk about how big they are, whatever. I'm not quite there yet, you guys. I'm okay. I'm all right feeling their presence or feeling Jesus' presence. You know, the other day I thought, what if I woke up in the morning and Jesus is sitting on the couch in my living room? I thought about that. I said, I don't know. Hi, Jesus. Oh, Tom. Yeah. I know everything about you. Bummer. So Jesus then says to those that are the peacemakers, good news, peacemakers. You'll be called the children of God. I'm going to give you a title. I'm going to give you an absolute, divine, holy title. You're going to be called the children of God. Be a peacemaker, not a warrior, like making trouble. You know, my job in church is to make trouble. Really. You know, my wife, listen, I'm going to close now. It's 12:15. And Julie will, she does that. She's doing it right now. With me. She's saying, you don't see this. She's here. Well, I gotta drive home with her this afternoon. So I'm okay. What was I gonna say? Where was I going?
My wife.
May the Lord want me to say that. I guess it's time to wrap it up. I know what it was. Listen, you guys. Don't be a scoundrel in church. Just don't do it. Be a good person. Be a peacemaker. Follow life being a peacemaker. You know, these people that go out and they say, oh, those abortion clinics, I'm going to burn them down. That's not being a peacemaker. And how many people get won to the Lord because you burnt down that abortion? I'm not saying you. I'm just saying people do that in the name of Jesus. Hold up a sign, John 3:16. Every ball game in America, every ball game on TV, somebody's behind there in this. Do you ever, I don't know if you noticed that in a baseball game. John 3:16. Really? Is somebody in the middle of that baseball game going to just open up their Bible and say, John 3:16? Let's look up John 3:16. I can't see what John 3:16. No, no, they don't care about that. How about the guys on the street corner saying, if you don't repent, you're going to burn? Well, that's good news. Thank you, Brett. Yeah, good. I'd rather say to that person, hey, I got good news for you. Jesus can lift you out of your situation. You see where I'm coming from? When Jesus said good news, he meant good news. I've got good news for everybody in this place. He will take you from where you are right now, and he will make you and lead you into a place that you've never been before, and you will be prosperous, not the way that we have defined prosperity, but you will be prosperous in the Lord. That's why Paul, in the middle of the prison cell, with Silas next to him, after they got beaten up and after they got tortured, they were able at midnight to sing praises unto the Lord. Most of us would not be in the mood for praises unto the Lord, right? You just got the bill from the IRS. You got to pay $8,000 this year. Not time to praise the Lord, right? You wouldn't even think in those terms. You just got your car smashed in, and I know about that one, but it's just not time to praise God. You don't think in those terms, but Paul was thinking in those terms because he had good news. He knew what came upon him. He knew the change that came into his life. He had good news. Stand with me, please. I'm going to pray the benediction. You guys didn't know I could end a sermon that fast. Amen. Jesus is good all the time. Hey, you know what? I'm going to teach you guys something. Right? You're going to surprise Aki. Wouldn't it be nice next Sunday if I taught you this and you all said it out loud? Hey, listen, say, all right, so I say God is good. Penny, what do you say next? Somebody said it.
All the time.
All the time. And then I say all the time and you say?
God.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it. You're like,
Next Sunday.
Yeah, how many next Sunday? All right. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I'm so excited.
God is good.
It's Father's Day.
Next Sunday.
Oh, man. How do we do that? I'll figure it out. I use Wayne. He can be my guy. I like Wayne. Hey, are you moving to Utah? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I am.
You are?
But I can leave Tom in everybody's hands. Amen.
Amen. Tom?
You?
Oh, no. No, not in my hands. In God's hands. Amen. Hey, listen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. We're going to do it next Sunday, Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Let me pray a blessing on you guys. It won't be like what you're used to. But I've come to bring you that good news today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over this congregation. I stretch out my hand, O Lord God, every individual. I just want to pray a blessing upon them that as they enter into a room, there'll be blessings. As they leave that room, there'll be blessings. At work, there's blessings. In their office, there's blessings. In their room, in their dorm, wherever everybody is, there will be a blessing. They will leave behind a blessing when they leave there. In the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand upon these great people in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, lift them up and let them realize the good news that's in the name of Jesus, and to love this church and to love their pastor and love his wife and to be caring people, peacemakers, so that we could be called the children of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Oh wait, we have some more stuff. There's another song. I always forget about this ending. Here's the microphone. Can I say goodbye?
Goodbye.